Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Glad you're with us. Titans just wrapped up the fifth practice. And we are pleased to be joined by quarterback Blaine Gabbert. We said it was the greatest five-minute visit we've ever had with a new Titans player back in the offseason, because he joined us right at the end of our show and we had to get out.
We were so pumped to talk to him, but yeah. it was a great 5 minutes. So
pumped to go home.
He said a lot. He said a lot in that 5 minutes.
So we're pumped that you're joining us on the day before your big off day, which I know all the players want to get out of here quickly after they release today.
We're anxious for the off day.
You circle those when the schedule comes out?
You just know when they're coming.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sneak up on anyone. Right?
No, not at all.
Blaine, you have played for six different head coaches, several different offensive coordinators. Do you know the number, the full number?
Nine head coaches.
How many offensive coordinators?
This is my eighth.
Wow.
What is it like picking up on an offense so many times?
You know, I think I have the process down now.
Where do you start?
Just with the basics. First and foremost, formations. Getting those down, that's really the starting point of any offense. When you know the formations, then you can know what runs are going with certain ways, where the protection's going, and then what plays we have out of certain formations. But first and foremost, you got to start there and then learn as you kind of progress with the installs.
Does that almost become a selling point for you when you're entering different systems and playing for different teams, where that becomes something that, well, it's not something you want. You want more consistency.
No
but
doubt.
You can go to anyone and say, hey, I'm adaptable. I can learn new offenses because I've done so many times.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a selling point by any means, but I would say that I have gotten good at learning systems. But it's tough. And Marcus is in a similar boat that I was in early on in my career. I think this is his third system in 4 years. And for any quarterback, you're always searching for consistency year in and year out. Being able to enter the next summer with the same coaches, the same coordinator, running the same place, so then you can really take those next steps as a player.
How hard is it to not revert back to old vocabulary? When
it's
you're trying
tough.
To call a player, describe something, I would always think that I would go back to that, whatever it was in your previous system.
Yeah, it's you're always kind of fighting that. It's almost like a language barrier. Every language or every system is called a little bit differently, even if you're running similar concepts, similar protections. They're all just kind of worded differently, and you always have to kind of catch yourself, whether you're calling a protection or a route concept. And but the faster that you can train yourself to talk in your current system's language, the better it's going to help you.
Blaine Gabbert with us on the Midday 180. You know, we could all point to the bad team you played for in Jacksonville, your rookie season, the injuries that you fought through second and third seasons, and we mentioned the different offenses you have to pick up on. What's been the toughest challenge that no one ever asked you about across the league and your path to where you are now?
I don't know. It's been a fun journey. And the thing that I think I'm the most proud of is just being able to persevere, fighting through injuries early on, inconsistency playing, and in kind of the systems that I've been in. And it's just always been, it's been a game of change for me. And as a player, you always got to be adaptable. And change is just something that's inevitable in this business. Players and coaches alike are on short leashes, and sometimes you don't get enough time. And that's just the reality of the business that we're in. But, you know, we all love this game. We love this job. And I'm fortunate to be with the Titans right now. We have a great staff and a great group of guys in the locker room.
How much attention did you get from the Titans back in that draft where you were there with Newton and Locker? Did you have a lot of conversation with that staff at the time?
I think. That was a long time ago, but I do remember coming on a visit.
We were talking about you
yeah.
quite a bit.
And, you know, the draft's a big crapshoot. You don't really know where you're going until we had an idea when we got to the green room in New York where all the picks were going to fall. But up until that point, everybody keeps their cards pretty close to their chest. And there were a few teams in the top 10 where we knew quarterbacks were going to go. We just didn't know where. And when I got the call at 10, it was the Jags.
Glenn Gabbert with this. You were the number one rated pro-style quarterback coming out of high school. Originally, I believe, committed to Nebraska.
Yep.
Bill Callahan was fired, so correct. You opened up your recruitment again. Mm-hmm. But the number one pro-style quarterback decided to go to Missouri where they're running the spread. What was that decision like at the time? And why did you want to play in that offense, having the pro-style background and knowing that the pro-style generally, not the case as much anymore, but generally, that's the path to the league?
Yeah, and I wanted to play. I felt extremely comfortable with not only the coaching staff at Mizzou, but just meeting and hanging out with the teammates. We had a great group of guys there. I had an extremely fun 3 years. We won a lot of football games, and I wouldn't change a thing about where I played college football. But the process to getting to play college football is wild. That whole recruiting process, especially nowadays, is even crazier than it was back then with all the social media influence and all the stuff on the internet. It's wild to watch.
So the system really didn't play a huge factor. It was fit.
Yeah, it was. I just wanted to play. Chase was going into his senior year at the time. We had a lot of talent on that football team. We were a very good football team. And just having a chance to meet with Coach Pinkel, Coach Yost, at the time was a quarterback coach and then became the offensive coordinator my sophomore and junior year. It was the right place for me at the time.
You know, a guy drafted in your year, Jake Locker, retired because he just didn't have the love for the game anymore, decided he wanted to go do something else. Can you gut through that, or if you're playing quarterback in this league, is it impossible to do it without having a pure love of the game?
You know, I think that that goes for any position. This game is too hard and presents so many challenges on and off the field, mentally and physically. The things that the guys in that locker room put their bodies through on a daily basis, people don't realize unless you're in that locker room. And if you don't love the game, truly love the game, you know, it can be hard to deal with. But the best part about the guys in there right now is, one, we all love each other, but the game of football is such a great game to be played, and I think we all have a passion for it.
One more on Missouri for you. Do you wish at times you would have been a part of the teams that made the transition to the SEC, or are you glad that you were on the teams that played in the Big 12?
Yeah, I'm a Big 12 purist at heart. I thought that was a great conference, and I still don't know why it kind of disintegrated, having Nebraska, A&M, us, Oklahoma, Colorado. We had a lot of fun road games, especially playing at Nebraska and A&M. Those were electric places to play, and you know, I selfishly wish they would have kept that conference together.
I went to Boulder for the first time ever this summer.
It's awesome.
Beautiful campus. I was there, and I'm thinking, how is Colorado not dominant in every sport? Because it would be an amazing place
to go to school. It's an easy sell, right?
Oh, it is gorgeous. The mountains around it, it's great.
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville.
You like Nashville, right?
Very hard to beat.
Gary Pinkel retired 2 years ago with the health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Have you kept up with him? You talked to
him? Yeah, I've seen Coach Pinkel kind of on and off in the off seasons. I have a buddy, Justin Smith, who lives in Columbia, and we'll run into GP every once in a while. But he's doing well. He's staying involved. And, you know, I think Coach Odom there is going to do a great job. He was the director of football operations when I was there, and then I believe went to Memphis to be the defensive coordinator, then came back and then got the head job. And, you know, he's a great coach, a great leader, and I think Mizzou's going to do some good things this year.
Well, you joined us this offseason. You said you had some great stories when we had time from that Elite 11 camp back in like 2007, I think.
Where yeah, it was a long time ago.
You were a part of this camp that had Andrew Luck, who won the MVP that year out of high school. Mike Glennon was there. EJ Manuel was there. Landry Jones and others.
Kyle Parker, first-round draft pick of the Rockies, played at Clemson.
What was the competition like between your group that year?
It was a lot of fun, and that was when, kind of before, like the Elite 11 is like a big TV production show now, and I think it's called like The Opening or something.
Yes.
But back then it was Coach Bob Johnson, and they had a bunch of the old Elite 11 guys come back that were starting in college and then guys that were in the NFL, and actually Chase Daniel was one of my counselors. I think Mark Sanchez was there as well. But, you know, it was a lot of fun just meeting guys all around the country. We're all kind of realizing our goals up to that point and go play college football. And, you know, just a lot of fun to go out there and throw the football.
What is the pride factor, though, with the MVP label? Like, that sticks with your bio.
I actually got the MVP that year.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading where it says that that Luck won it. So you beat out Luck.
In the Elite 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got that.
So tell me about the pride factor then. My bad.
You know, it's just, you're always competing. I had to check you on that fact, though.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, because that is a bio. Like, if any quarterback that wins that award, that sticks with them.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, the talent in that group alone, looking back on it, was out of control. NFL draft picks, first round draft picks, starters in the NFL, starters in college. You don't find that depth in a high school class very often, and it's pretty cool to be a part of that group.
Do you develop natural rivalries with the other quarterbacks there? Like, is it? I picture being sort of like Survivor. Like, you have your little groups that you side with. And
I wouldn't
you don't
go
like
that
the other
far.
Guys.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, and it's fun to go out there and compete. We're all there to have fun and just trying to get a little bit better. Just pick all the college guys and pro guys' brains just a little bit, but you know, it was a blast.
I'm not trying to simplify the Matt LaFleur offense, but I want Blaine Gabbert's perspective on this. I'm watching a little bit of practice over the weekend, and I see some of the throws that I think are pretty simple designed routes and throws. Are there layups within this offense that quarterbacks can flourish on?
You know, I think we just try and simplify things. Throw to the open guy, right? And Matt does a great job calling plays, and we had a scrimmage today, so nothing was scripted. We were just kind of going off the cuff. First, second, third down, move the ball, and Matt's a great, great offensive coordinator. He's been a lot of fun to work with, and we put a lot of work in this summer trying to get a leg up going into training camp, so we weren't kind of starting from scratch. We kind of hit the ground running and get deeper into these installs and kind of go through them second, third, fourth times.
You know, there's clearly you'll throw the ball deep, and there'll be different screens and things, but I think I see more intermediate routes than I've seen in this offense in the past. You can certainly speak to what you've seen on film from the mm-hmm. Rams and others. But that second level of the defense seems to be where this offense best attacks. Is that accurate?
You know, I think the beauty of this offense is we have plays for really every look the defense is going to give us. And Coach Pease and our defensive guys on the field are extremely talented. And Coach Pease calls a lot of great plays and really stresses us on offense to make the correct read, make the correct call in protection, change the play if need be. And like I said, we're just trying to throw to the open guy, whoever that may be.
Blaine Gabbert has been our guest. What's been the initial first couple of months around Marcus?
He's great. Just having a chance to meet him, playing against him last year, hearing what everybody said about him, how great of a guy he is, and then hanging out with him this summer, golfing off the field, getting a chance to work with him in the meeting rooms, out on the practice field, now in training camp. He's a first-class individual. He works extremely hard. He's a great dude, great leader, and a pretty darn good football player as well.
What's your level of communication like in the meeting rooms? Is it a lot of comparing notes when you're going over film?
You know, I think the best way to describe it is just consistent communication. We're always talking. I'm not one to sit in a meeting room and not have any interaction with guys. I like to talk, stay engaged with everybody, and you know, I think that's the way you accomplish great things is having consistent, constant dialogue. Everybody's talking. Everybody's kind of voicing what they see on certain plays, what they see from the defense, and where we can attack them. And I think that's kind of this next level that we're going to take in that quarterback room.
What do you do for fun? What are the hobbies that you like to take in?
Golf and fish. Those are the big things. I had a chance to fish a lot this summer, which
is great.
You
go big with the fishing. Or it is? Are you like deep sea fishing, or is
yeah,
it like,
yeah, okay. Off Florida? So I have a boat down there, and you know we were offshore quite a bit this summer.
What'd you catch?
Bunch of dolphin.
What?
Yeah, or mahi, not.
Oh, okay.
Not flipper. not flipper. But yeah, it was great. Just having a chance. My brothers were down there and going offshore, hanging out.
I went deep sea fishing once, and we caught a stingray. We didn't want to, but we did. That was brutal, trying to get that thing off the line.
Yeah, we were way offshore to catch those. We were in a couple thousand feet of water.
Blaine Gabbert has been our guest, the 2007 Elite 11 MVP. Beat out Andrew Luck for the record. Yes. Thanks, man. Enjoy the day off tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.